Shame would not exist without society. A massive truth bomb from Maddie Moon. Join me and Maddie for a deep conversation that will help you show up in a raw and real way for yourself, your audience, and your mission. Tune into this episode and learn how to share your truth while teaching your audience something they can implement. How to move past the fight, flight, freeze trigger to show up in more vulnerable ways, and why it's important to honor your emotional experience before jumping into creating content. Madeline Moon is an author, teacher, podcast host, retreat leader, and transformational life coach. She is a guiding force for masculine-minded women who want to stop overthinking their lives away and live with more trust, intuition, and feminine flow. Driven by perfectionism for years, Maddie found herself always trying to do more, be more, and accomplish more, a dangerous cycle that only led to more distance between her and her dreams, self-love, and intuition. Through meditation, embodiment, and the art of slowing down, she healed her heart, embraced her unique feminine essence, and learned to love her tender body. She teaches others across the world to do the same through her podcast, Mind Body Musings, website, and ongoing retreats. Today's episode is sponsored by my advanced digital training, Unleashed and Unapologetic, How to Become a Thought Leader and Build a Cult Following. If you're ready to gain visibility and do the work that you are here to do, enroll for the You and Your training at www.rubyfairmont.com/unleashed. Now it is time to dive deep with Maddie Moon. Welcome to today's Thought Leader, where I'm challenging you to rise up, speak up, and create a movement. I'm your host, Ruby Fremon, and I'm here as a catalyst for you, the new generation of thought leaders. I'm a kick-ass life coach, a bullshit detector, and courageous communicator. I'll show you how to gain visibility, build a cult following, and create impact while increasing your income. Join me every week as I dive into raw and real conversations that will help you amplify your presence, influence, and impact. It's time to unapologetically do what you're here to do and do it your way. So get ready, thought leaders, and let's make shit happen. Hey, thought leaders, I am back with another very, very special guest. And it's funny because just before we hit record, I realized this is actually our first time meeting, quote unquote, meeting on video in a chat like this. And yet we feel like we've known each other forever. Maddie Moon, welcome to today's Thought Leader. I am so excited to have you here and just to give us an opportunity to dive deep.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's so interesting to me how close you feel you can create a connection with someone without ever even being face to face. Like, we've been in each other's spaces for years now, probably I would say 3 years at least.
At least.
Yeah. And so much growth has happened, and it's just been such an honor to watch your journey unfold and the different layers of where you've taken your business year after year. It's so lovely to be here with you.
It's amazing to be here, and the same, like, I've just been witnessing your evolution and your unfolding online. And one of the things that I see you own with such fierceness is this raw vulnerability that is very empowering. You know, like, we see people showing up in vulnerable ways, and it can almost leave you feeling a little bit like uneasy or wrapped up in their emotions. Whereas the way in which I find you show up is it's raw, it's real, it's vulnerable, and I feel empowered after reading everything that you say. And I just love that about you. And I admire that about you, and I respect you for that. Have you always been this way?
Oh, it's such a good question. Something I find really interesting is that once you've left an emotion, you can't really connect with it again until you experience it once more. Like, they say this about childbirth. You'll never remember the pain that you experienced giving birth to a child, like the actual literal pain. You can't revisit it. It's like gone. And I think a lot of emotions are like that. So it's hard for me to say, if I have or if I haven't, because maybe I have and I'm not in that emotion anymore. So it feels like I'm not. But I think that there's always been a part of me that's, I care less. I will say this. I care less than the quote average person, what others think about me.
Right.
It hurts whenever it's someone that is really, we have a connection that's formed. Maybe it's a partner or an ex-partner or a family member. There's some like heart palpitations that may happen if they don't agree with what I say. I get triggered. I get frustrated, but I feel like I've always come at my own truth of knowing that there's no like near death that might happen if people don't accept me. Like, for some people, there is this fight, flight, or freeze response of being vulnerable and telling their truth. Mm-hmm. And this is something that happens within our nervous system, right? Because a lot of times our body has created a correlation between not being liked and no longer receiving love, mm-hmm. which could mean no longer receiving safety. Yeah. And so for many people, when they speak their truth, their bodies, their nervous system has this fight, flight, or freeze response. And there's a lot to do within that of training your body slowly but surely how to be in the face of a no, in the face of rejection, in the face of people not agreeing. And I think I skipped a few of those steps just because, like, if you don't like me and my message and my path and my journey, I don't find that to be something that I take personally. Mm-hmm. And I don't find that to be something bad about them. Like, no one's good or bad in any of these instances. Right. And I think that's helped me a lot, that my business was created out of me sharing my truth. Mm-hmm. I didn't start to share my truth to create a business.
Right.
So it happened really naturally where I was like, oh, I have got some like shame. What would be like a really wonderful way for me to release it publicly on a podcast? Yeah. Like, how can I just And then it turned into a business from that place of me like selfishly wanting to just like get all this stuff off my chest, talk about it. And then the business was born from that.
That's so interesting because I didn't know that. And I experienced something similar for my business, right? Like, my business started from me, sharing what I was going through when I was rising up from my rock bottom and through my addiction on Tumblr in an anonymous blog, because I wanted to keep my identity hidden from all of my nightlife peeps who followed me because I was a nightlife promoter. Through that, the reason why I did it was to hold myself accountable. I was like, I'm going to hold myself accountable. If I put it out on the internet, that means I have to do it. And the more I started sharing that to platforms where I was actually known, like Facebook, the more messages I was receiving, and my business was constructed or came, you know, the idea to do this work was downloaded through that, just through the reception of what I was sharing. And I know that we can both agree that there is so much power to showing up in vulnerable ways, and there are different ways to show up vulnerably, right? Like, there are ways to do it where it feels like it's emotional vomiting, where it feels like you're just airing your dirty laundry. And there are ways to do it from this space of true strength, which I feel you embody beautifully. And I want to talk a bit about that. Because I'm sure you've noticed how people can show up vulnerably in different ways.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, I will share something here that has a dark side. Mm. And it's been a huge help to me showing up in this way, but there's a secret dark side to it. So one of my aspects of my personality is I don't like people telling me what to do. Mm-hmm. I really don't like that. And that also is included. I don't like people seeing me and saying, oh, you feel vulnerable about this breakup. Here's what you should do. Like, go out there into the world, do this. Like, what they're doing is trying to be encouraging.
Right.
I don't like that though. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. And so that's my dark side, is that sometimes, I mean, one of the many pieces of my dark side,
right.
But that's one thing that I've always come at being quote vulnerable, just being honest and truthful in a way that's also empowered, because I don't also want people saying, oh, let me help you. Because I'm like, no, like I've got my own inner guidance. I've got my North Star and I've got my team of people who I trust and who support me. And you are also like this. I notice because sometimes not the dark shadow side, but I notice that whenever you post things, oftentimes you'll share and then you'll say, not looking for feedback in this about what I should do. I've got my team and my support group. I've seen posts like that from you. And I'm of the same way that I come to share my truth because it feels good for me to share it primarily. I'm really doing it for me, which means that if people criticize it or praise it, it doesn't really affect me because it was always for me.
Right.
But then I also want to speak in a way where I'm sharing what's coming up for me. And as often as possible, I want to provide something that someone else experiencing the same thing can go implement into their life. So I'm combining being a real human being. And even if I'm in the heat or the midst of whatever's happening, I also want to provide some teaching, some inkling of something people can walk away with. I don't want to vent for vent's sake. I don't want to just be vulnerable only for being vulnerable's sake. I oftentimes want to combine something in there that can be, doesn't have to be positive,
right,
but just something you can implement into your life. And again, I'm not always writing that for everyone else. Sometimes I'm writing that for me. Right. Like, here's what's happening for me and here's what I can go do. But then I'll phrase it in a way that serves all people, very inclusive as I can be. So the shadow side to it is I don't really like people trying to tell me what to do. I will always be that way. It's very frustrating for my my boyfriends and my family because they want to like help, but I have to ask for it. But then it's also good because it's helped me to make sure that when I am sharing my vulnerable truth, I'm doing it in a way that's not basically asking for everyone to bombard me with my next steps. And instead I'm still holding that pose of being someone who is in touch with my innate wisdom and I want to pass it on to others.
Yeah, and that's such a crucial piece to it, especially as leaders and doing the work that we're here to do, to bring it back to our audience in a way where they can then tie it into their life and say, okay, this is how I can apply this and this is how this is useful for me. So it's not just this like inspirational fluffy thing, but it's a tangible something that they can walk away with. And I think that that's both very smart and also just such a gracious act for our audiences to be able to offer them something. You know, I often get a lot of clients saying, well, how much is too much? And I always say, well, if it's a completely selfish, like just to fulfill your ego and you need validation kind of post, then that's probably not going to serve your audience. But if there's a piece to it where you really want to share something because you feel called, like innately called to share it because you know that there's someone in your audience who is going to benefit from reading this in some way, shape, or form, then that's a really good positive, or not even positive, but a great thing to share to your audience. And I don't know about you, Maddie, but I've been playing a lot with this idea of like vulnerable truth being bullshit because truth, the word truth is truth. And if we share our truth, that is being vulnerable. Like, why are we adding vulnerable post or vulnerable truth or vulnerable authenticity to everything? And I've been thinking about this a lot and how it's really just because society has trained us to, society or our programming from our parentals or from our teachers, like to show up in a certain way, to be perceived in a certain way, we have to control how we're seen. And in that control, we wear these masks. And with those masks, we're hiding our truth. And so this idea, this rise of vulnerability is really just like a rise into our truth and encouraging people to step into that. I don't know what you've noticed with that.
Yeah, I feel the same way. There's something that, there's are a whole bunch of words now that start to lose their oomph.
Yes.
Like to me, self-love is one of those.
Yeah.
Holistic health. And I think that vulnerability is becoming one of those, and authenticity and truth. And it makes me sad because those are beautiful words, but sometimes when I hear them, I'm just like, can we create some new words and then use those a whole bunch, and then we'll create new words? Because it just keeps happening, and it's great because people are, by saying vulnerable post ahead, it's like giving people a doorway to share their truth, because that's, everything is a stepping stone in all of this shadow work or personal development work, stepping into your truth work. Stepping stones are great. So at the start, what someone might need is to have the little asterisks and then write vulnerable post and then share their truth. And then again, they might do that. And then later on, they just start to just share it openly, blatantly, what their quote truth is. And that's great. And that's, I think, where we want to get is just where, get to the point where we can just share what we share. And we don't have to have a disclaimer of, hey, this is a real thing I'm about to say. But for now, if that's what we need in order to get to that place, then that's great. And I support people who first need to adopt a label of now becoming vulnerable and truthful to get to that place. But I certainly do dream of a world where we can do that and remain unattached to the criticism and approval that we receive from said posts. And with that, I also will add that one thing that I find is so important, and I'm sure you can relate to this, is that when people are sharing these truths, like I just said, you need to remain unattached from criticism or approval, but also being sovereign and knowing that you're sharing something here. Own that, because some people will not agree. So if you're going to write the post and you're going to get on Facebook or your podcast or Instagram and you're going to share this thing, own the whole experience of it. The before, the during, and the after. You're not a victim when people then comment on it and say, hey, you know, I kind of feel differently. I want honor whatever comes up for you, because at first you might feel triggered, like, someone sees me in a different light now because I shared this thing, or people, that person, she's not following me anymore. Like, honor your experience, because you might feel triggered. If you're primarily a feminine creature, you might have that people-pleasing wound come up whenever someone disagrees with you, and own that. So sovereignty is about standing in your personal truth and power and being responsible for the whole experience. So when you share what is coming up for you, know that you could receive any kind of feedback from that. And before you post this thing, ask yourself, am I ready for that? Can I remain in my truth, and can I remain calm? Can I honor my triggers or whatever comes up for me once I hit post on that? Or is that going to ruin my entire day and make me go back inside my shell and make me say, oh, this always happens to me whenever I'm being open and honest?
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. I think that that's such a beautiful point, because God, social media just makes it so easy to just blurt out anything at any point in time, because we have this tool at our fingertips all day long. And as leaders, I think that there's this divine responsibility. For me, it's an idea of divine responsibility with what we're sharing and how we're sharing it. Not meant to filter, but more so meant to, okay, let me sit with this first before I share it. So that, just like you said, you can stand by it. You can remain in your truth when it's shared, once it's shared. Because there are millions and millions and millions of people online, and not everyone is going to agree with what we have to say. And I'm sure you've dealt with your you know, quote unquote haters, or people who judge, or who want to just share their opinions very loudly on your threads. And, you know, I've experienced my dose of that as well. And yeah, what has always helped me is exactly what you shared, is like knowing that I can remain in my truth, knowing that I stand fully behind what it is that I'm sharing and what it is that I'm speaking. And I'll admit, I wasn't always like that. When I first started my business, I was, and it was funny, because I started my business sharing from the sharing on the Tumblr. And then I got really wrapped up in the, okay, now I have to be perceived in a certain way. Now I have to control everything. And then I realized that there is such freedom. There's such freedom in being able to share our truth and being able to like stand by that truth unapologetically. So thank you so much for sharing that piece.
Yeah. One thing that's coming up for me, well, a couple things, hopefully I can hold on to them. The first thing that's coming up, there's like an instance you were saying earlier, how do we know what we don't share and what we do? Mm-hmm. And speaking about the sovereignty piece, recently, about 3 months ago, I went through a conscious uncoupling with my then time partner. We were together for 6 months and the entire time we just traveled. Like we met and immediately packed up our stuff and hit the road and traveled together. So fun. But when we decided to split, like there were moments where I wanted to hop on social media and just be like, yeah. So there's moments where I wanted to just hop on to share about like the pain that I was experiencing and how hard it is to live with someone for 2 weeks once you're broken up. But I knew, cause that's what we had to do, is stay in the same house. And it was hard. And I knew that by me getting on Instagram and saying, this thing is happening, if I was being sovereign, I was also going to have to say, people are going to be sending me messages about this breakup. And people did. And I remember at one point, someone sent me a message that said, was really, really long.
Yeah.
And she said something like, Maddie, this is a culture of fast food relationships where everyone is throwing away relationships. They require hard work. You should slow down and, you know, all this stuff. And old me, before I had been work, old me, you know, me still, but a different version of me.
Right.
If I had read that back then, I would have probably got upset. Mm-hmm. Like, how dare you tell me what to do?
Right.
But it was so beautiful to me to witness this change in myself. But when I read that message, I was so soft and open. And I cried immediately because I could see so much truth in what she was saying. Mm-hmm. And I realized, first off, like I got past just the trigger of the anger and the defensiveness. And I went straight to the like, oh, she just hit a part of me that's like, so I am so scared that I'm throwing away this relationship. I am so scared. And she, by saying that, opened up all that within me. Mm-hmm. And I was proud of myself for bypassing the anger and the defensiveness and just being like, oh, there's truth in what you're saying. Right. But then at that point I realized, okay, I'm too tender to be talking about this on social media and taking in people's perspectives and thoughts and ideas. So I didn't talk about it again. And I posted something saying, hey, I will come forward and talk about this breakup whenever I feel ready. But right now I'm not. Thank you all for your comments, but I'm good right now. I'm going to go offline about this. Mm-hmm. And so that was a moment for me where I just had to touch base with my heart and say, are you sovereign in this? Like, if you're going to talk about this, can you take in all the comments? Because that woman's comment definitely swayed my night, where then I went to my partner and said, should we break up? You know, and right. I didn't want that. I knew what I wanted and I didn't want my sensitive spots to be so vulnerable to being swayed in that moment.
Yeah. And what a great example of, being in an emotional process and sharing too early or when it's a little too ripe. Mm-hmm. I feel like that we get to honor our emotional processes and we get to do this behind the scenes. I think a lot of people assume, and we can get into these assumptions too, is like, as a leader of my mission or my movement or my purpose, like I have to show up, I have to show them everything, I have to do this, I should be talking about this because there's probably a lesson here for my audience. And when we try and push all of that out there into social media to show the world, I feel like there's a part of us that isn't really truly honoring our process. And there's so much to honor within ourselves that if we share too early, it's like cutting that process too short.
Yes. You know, also what's coming up for me is that I think we do that when we're going through something and we just put it out in social media. Mm-hmm. We're not going through an emotional experience. Actually, what that is trying to use our life to create content and to do, and to continue to work. So like there's that phrase of spiritual bypassing. Mm-hmm. And I think for entrepreneurs, that's like the emotional spiritual bypassing is, my heart just got broken. Let me quickly write a blog post and get on Instagram stories and let me quickly do this and create a course about it. And like, mm-hmm. what about feeling what just came up for you? Yeah. There's in this hustle culture, it's great. It's so great that we can create content and build businesses out of our past pain. Mm-hmm. I did that. Mm-hmm. I did that with my bodybuilding, my eating disorders, everything. I'm so grateful for that. But if we are not aware of that hustle wound of the need to do, we're going to do that with our emotions and bully ourselves into creating before we're ready. We're too tender. It's okay to not quickly hop on social media and share and make this part of your business. It's okay to feel it first, like sit in it, be triggered, be upset, have one of those awesome crying on the bathtub floor showers, and just indulge in what you are going through as a woman, as a man, as a child. Feel what you're feeling, because you are not here to create content and you're not here to even be a leader or a speaker or a teacher. You're here to be a human, a spirit having the human experience, but you are here to be on earth and to feel all the things and to live your life. It's a gift. And as you said, it's an amazing thing we get to do to then turn it into something that helps other people. Mm-hmm. But in the pursuit of helping other people and building a business, don't skip over your own slowing down, your own feeling, your own processing, because that's where living actually happens.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I like had goosebumps that whole time because I love where the conversation just went. One of the things that I've nicknamed you in my own head, I don't think I've ever shared this with you, is like an expert on feeling.
Oh, I love that.
That's my nickname for you, and I'm sharing it out loud right now. But to our listeners, Maddie really is an expert on feeling. And if you aren't following her, just follow her and you'll see her. Everything's going to be in the show notes. But I love that you shared that. I love, love, love that, because I think that especially now with the rise of the purpose-driven leaders, you know, everyone's like, I have a purpose. I went through this pain. I want to turn it into power. But we have a lot of people doing that too soon. And it's irresponsible both to their audience and those that they're here to serve, and also to themselves, because they're not allowing themselves to actually go through the motions of healing their traumas. And it's just like what you said, bypassing their emotions.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure it's like, you know, I'm sure it's very challenging to watch all these people on Instagram and social media building all these businesses and being speakers and leaders and not even having gotten started with that yet. And it's exciting to be like, oh, they're all doing this. Thousands of people are doing this. I want to do this too.
Right.
So I can see how it would be really seductive to hurry on and get started and start speaking and talking about these things and building an online business so you can be a digital nomad and travel the world and do all these right? Like all these things you want to do. But it's hard work. It is such hard work. I mean, to hold other people going through their traumas is hard enough, is challenging enough. It requires a lot of your presence. Even being quiet and listening takes a lot out of a lot of human beings. Me as a projector, you're a projector.
I'm also a projector. Human design people.
Yeah. It takes a lot, and it's responsible, as you said, and it's emotionally mature to first know how to hold your own stuff before you're doing that for someone else. And it's a great thing to be able to do that. There's no honor in getting started way too fast, not being responsible and feeling your own feelings and healing your own wounds, or at least being on the path to healing those subconscious ruling wounds. Yes, start before you're ready, but don't start before you're not responsible, are responsible. Make sure you're responsible when you start.
Yeah. I mean, because healing is a journey. Like we're both still healing. Like healing always is a forever, forever journey. Like we are healing until the day we pass. And it's not about waiting until you are quote unquote healed. It's about waiting until you are ready to hold space for other people. If you can't, if you cannot hold space for yourself in your wound, in your trauma, and you're simply bypassing that and moving on to the next thing or creating for the sake of bypassing what you're actually feeling, then you're not ready to hold space for others. You're not. And I think a lot of people learn it the hard way when they step into this too early. And both of these things can coexist at the same time. You know, like as dedicated as I am to my clients and to my audience and to my community, I am equally, if not more dedicated to my, I would say more dedicated to my own growth. And I feel like you're the same way. You know, from what I always witness online, you're always attending workshops and you working with your coaches and mentors and always inviting yourself to dive in deeper within yourself. And I can only imagine just how powerful that then becomes when it translates into your work with your clients.
Yeah. We can't take our clients deeper than we've gone ourselves. So that's really important for people to remember who are wanting to become coaches, who are, this is kind of changing the direction a little bit, but when you're wanting to become a coach, you also need to invest in yourself. Right? That's also part of being responsible, of being a teacher and a leader. If you're going to hold space for others, have you been also doing what you're asking them to do? If you're asking a client to put down X amount of dollars to hire you, are you putting X amount of dollars down to hire someone else? Are you investing yourself and going to workshops and courses and going into your triggers and your pain and your darkness and your light and your, like, all the like elation that you feel? Are you allowing yourself to fully step into feeling all that's coming up for you and investing in yourself? Because that's also walking the talk. If you're going to be doing that for others, you want to go deep in your own life. It's the only way to take your clients deep. It's a reflection. It's a mirror. Every relationship you have is a mirror. It's showing you the things that either you have not quite brought into your life, like the shadow work, whenever you get triggered or upset. When that happens, look at that quality, because it's something you're probably repressing in your own life. But then oftentimes it can show us what we are doing in our life. And like, it can be a beautiful reflection of seeing the things in others that we really love about ourselves.
I think the word for that would be integrity. Showing up
integrity,
you know, and having integrity. And you know, if you're someone who is working as a, let's use the example of the coach, and you have never ever even invested in your own, like, that's questionable. It's questionable. Or if you are, you know, for example, a speaker and you speak on empowerment, and yet in your life outside of the screen, in your life offline, you're actually not doing anything to empower yourself, and you're just falling victim to your programming and not working through any of that, then there's a lack of integrity, and that shows. And so that's why, like, bringing it back to owning our truth, I think it's, our truth isn't always the bright light. Our truth can also be owning our shit and then taking responsibility for all of that. So in order to show up in this raw, truthful, real, genuine way online, which actually creates a better connection with your audience, we need to be able to connect that way with ourselves offline, not just when the cameras are rolling.
And feeling what's coming up for us. I think also this is one of the things that's made my quote vulnerable shares different, is that when I'm sharing a vulnerable share or something real, I don't have an underlying tone about this is something really sad and something really bad. And it's like, this is the thing, and it's normalizing. It's just normalizing all the different emotions, which is what I probably spend more time talking about, the shadow side of life, the dark parts of life, pain, than people realize, because I never talk about it in a way that sounds painful or sounds like it's a bad emotion whenever I'm talking about all these things, I'm like, oh yeah, like this thing happened. And it was like, you know, but the tone of it, the way I'm holding my body, the energy behind it is all about validating that thing to make it seem less shameful. Because I don't feel like it's shameful. I feel like it just is what it is, just like any other thing I'm going through or emotion. So yeah, I think in order to get to that place, you just have to be honest with yourself about what you're feeling rather than staying in line with society's viewpoints of what is good and bad, further feeding shame, because shame would not exist without society. It's only because of society. Shame was born out of society and it will die with society. And if society decides to change what is shameful, powerful. We get to do that.
Yeah. That's shame would not exist without society. That is super, super powerful. And yeah, it's crazy that we have to normalize human feelings, that we are all like emotions that we are all feeling. You know, things like anger and guilt and resentment and shame and sadness and despair. Like, it's crazy how all of these things have become like the quote unquote shadow side and what we need to quickly move through to get to the lighter things like happiness and joy. And, but without these, this other spectrum of emotions, then we're not really learning anything. You know, we're not really evolving, we're not growing. And so I love that a huge part of your work and how you share online is to normalize these things, because I believe that that is probably one of your greatest aspects in teaching. In every single post that you share, it is the way that you share it. It's the tonality behind it and the positioning of it. Not that you're trying to force it to be a certain way, but more so like, factual. Here's what I'm feeling. Here's what's happening. Here's what I'm doing about it. Here's what I recommend you do about it. Like, it's just it versus like, oh, I'm so sad and everything sucks. And no, that's feeding into the societal beliefs behind that emotion when we do that. And that's also probably sharing too early because you're in your shit.
I find it so interesting. You were just saying that we're having to normalize these different emotions that are totally normal. Like, we're supposed to have them. And I think one thing that's been a tool that's helped me do that internally is by externally moving my body in different ways. And I think it's so funny how if you move your body in a particular way, it is weird. It's like, it's so mind blowing to me. And that's why I go to things like ecstatic dance. Because I'm dancing like a mad woman in all these different ways. Like, I let my tribal energy come out. I might stomp my feet. I might dance in a corner by myself facing the wall. Like, I don't know. I'm just going to do all this stuff that society, again, would deem as weird. And I think that too, how we use our body and the way we are expected to use our body and move and the way we are expected to dance when we dance. Like, there's all these ways that are weird for us to move this body, which is crazy to me that something is deemed as normal to like moving your butt a little bit like this, like it's just odd and don't do it. And by first starting with the body and using my body in different weird ways and moving into different poses that are unknown or going to ecstatic dance and dancing like a crazy person, like that has really helped me in my internal world of validating the wide range. Anytime people get really stuck with emotions or the internal space and validating certain thoughts or feelings, go do something with your body first and like practice that for a while. And I guarantee you will see something change internally by first breaking that belief that you need to move a certain way with your body. It's really interesting. I mean, I think that's why embodiment work is so important, because you can change a lot because that's where your nervous system is taking place. Your nervous system learns, oh, I can move in an odd way and I'm not dead. Oh, I can move in an odd way and I still have money to pay for my apartment and rent. Like, there is that fight, flight, or freeze response whenever we think we're doing something that's not acceptable. Train your nervous system to realize I can do something different and I'm still alive. I'm still breathing. I'm still loved. And then that will transfer over to that internal space of the emotions, the feelings, and the thoughts a little more effortlessly without having to start there. Mm-hmm. Start with the body.
Yeah. I 1000% stand behind that. And it's funny because I do ecstatic dance at my retreats, but I always give them blindfolds because a lot of the people who come to my retreats have never, ever, ever done anything like this. And so to encourage them to like, okay, no one's watching. Cause that's usually one of the biggest things. It's not, my body feels weird. It's more so what are people going to think? Like, what are people going to think when I'm dancing this way? And it's always amazing to me to see who responds like really well and is able to just like bounce around and get into their primal self and who's still in their little box and standing in one spot doing maybe the same clubby dance moves that they would do at any nightclub or not even because the song feels too weird, you know, because I like to use like really primal songs. And I feel like so much like all of this is all related, right? It's like how we show up in the world, what we say, how we move our bodies, like all of it is related and all of it we constrict because of how we feel we're going to be seen or our fear of not feeling like we belong or like the fear of judgment, whatever it is, like all of this stuff that we are built to do. We're built to speak our truth. We're built to move our bodies in whatever way we can. All of that is restricted because of the programming that we pick up. And I think if anything, I would want our listeners today to walk away with that knowing that you can take those restrictions off and understand that you have a voice, you're allowed to use it. You have a body, you're allowed to use it. And you have emotions that you're allowed to and divinely guided to feel. And then you're also allowed to share, but from a space of empowerment, you know, from a space of like knowing that this is all part of the natural human existence.
Oh yeah. Amen. Yeah. And the ironic thing I think too about all of this is that there's always one person in a space where everyone's trying to do the right thing, move the right way, not stick out like a sore thumb. There always needs to be one person who is basically the permission giver, not by giving everyone verbal permission, but by doing something that's different or weird. Like at some of the events that I go to, we do this thing called non-linear movement, where our eyes are closed. It's a full hour of just moving and we're not allowed to do yoga poses or dance or do anything pretty. It's just like your primal self of moving in all these different ways and you have to continuously change it. And there's always like one person, the first person that makes the loud noise first, like the first cry.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden everyone else cries.
Yes.
Or there's a person that starts screaming. And then other people start screaming.
Yeah.
So I find that to be a motive and a motivating factor to go into those places as quickly as possible because I'm also being a teacher in that way by being the first screamer. It's great for me because I get to scream and let out all that energy. Mm-hmm. And then it's only proving my body more and more, my nervous system more and more, how okay it is to scream because then all these other people follow suit. And they do the same thing. And my body's like, oh, okay. Like there's a part of me that's like, oh, I'm so glad that I got to do that and scream. So everyone else is screaming now too. Because they're like this teacher ego part of me. And I like to play with her energy. And that's really cool. But then other people feel safe to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So we need more of the people that are getting out of their club dance moves.
Right.
And more people who are screaming because just try it. Like give yourself your own permission slip to be the first one to do that thing and watch how many other people open up in that same way. And it does something to the room. The room then went to a new place that it wasn't going to go before. Mm-hmm. If no one opened up that possibility to be the screamer, the moaner, whatever it was, someone didn't do that. And everyone else kind of follows suit and doesn't do that. The room doesn't go as deep as it could have, not as much as released as it could have been released.
Totally agree. And we see that in everything, in all the ways that we show up, right? Whether it's live in a workshop where we get into our primal selves and there's that first person to scream, or it's online and we share something really raw and really real, and that unlocks something in other people and they're like, wow, this person did it. Maddie did this. That means I can do this too. Mm. You know, and everyone feels like they get permission, they receive permission to do so. But the truth is, like, the permission has always been granted.
Right.
Someone was brave enough to do it first. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important as leaders for us to, like, be brave enough to fucking do it first. Like, be brave enough to go first. So yeah, we are, I mean, I could jam with you for like another 2 hours, but we are at the end of this episode. Mm. So Maddie, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners? Anything that you really want them to walk away with?
So this, I was thinking about this question, and it is not related to what we talked about today, really, but I'm going to share it anyways, because okay. This has profoundly impacted my life. But with all of this talk around self-love and the need to love ourselves and unconditionally love our partners and people in our lives, something that's changed the game for me is to learn how to, when I don't want to love the partner or don't want to love myself or my mom or my dad, I love God within them. Mm. I love the divine within them, because in each soul is that beautiful bright light of consciousness. It's always been there. It's never been changed. It doesn't have your mom's quirks or your dad's angry personality. It doesn't have that. It's just God. It's just the divine. It's just the universe right mm-hmm. there in the center of the chest. So when I get in my own little world and I'm having a hard time loving this person in front of me or the mirror, I will love God within. I will look for that bright light and say, you know, you are not perfect in this moment, but there is God within you. And that is perfect. And I can love that because I know that's just good and holy and pure and beautiful. So it's not related to this directly, but I think it's related to everything in life because we're here for love, and that's what came up for me. I just wanted to drop that in today.
Oh, thank you for dropping that in. Maddie, why don't you tell our listeners how they can stalk you online, and then I will include all of these links in the show notes.
Yes, please stalk me. So you can find me at maddiemoon.com, MaddyMoon, and my podcast is called Mind Body Musings, and that's on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. And I'm all over Instagram all the time. It is at Madeline Moon. Madeline is MadeLyn. And I have the Feminine Spirit School is coming out soon. I don't know exactly when this is launching, but I have a program called the Feminine Spirit School. So if anyone is wanting to work more on their shadow and their darkness and their feminine and masculine energies and family and ancestral wounds and all of that, and being truthful, being in your truth and facing rejection and no's, then you can go to my website that will be on there as well.
Love it. So I will have all those links in the show notes. Maddie, thank you so much for just diving into this conversation. I feel like it's going to be really insightful for a lot of our listeners and really spot on for the time and age that we're living in today. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of Today's Thought Leader, where I'm challenging you to rise up, speak up, and create a movement. Please be sure to drop a rating and review on iTunes. And if you dig this episode, share it with a friend. If you have questions for myself or for Maddie, please reach out to us on social media. And I will see you back here on Thursday for a brand new episode of Today's Thought Leader.